So now we are showing in the cinema the second part of Die Hard. So now we're international project management, and you will notice that there are certainly some overlapping informations about the grant writing and about the project management, because grant writing is a part of the project management, and that's quite true. So I'm going now to have a focus on the EC-funded collaborative project, research projects, and I spoke with my colleagues in the break, and sure, I know you're now in your PhD phase, and this is all for the future. I know that, and but I think it's very good to get to know what will be the next steps for you, and what can be the next step for you, what is necessary for the next step for you. And the earlier you get accustomed to this kind of thinking in proposal writing or in project management, the better is it. If you use it immediately or in 2 or 3 years, doesn't matter. But I think it's very important that you understand what's behind all this. So in this presentation, I will show you typical features and phases of the project first, and then there are certain management tools, and I will present it to you because you will find it in all your future projects, like a Gantt chart, a PERT chart, stuff like that. What is it? How to use it? And also, I will show you the standard procedures in EU-funded research projects. These steps are always the same in every project, like the reporting, like the evaluation, like the meetings, and also the importance of the communication and organization issues for project success. So there's a lot thing to say. So what's a project? It sounds easy, but it's very, very important that the project is a temporary endeavor undertaken to create a unique product, service, or results. It must be temporary. It's only funded for a certain time. That's true. And it should be unique because the commission also always has to explain why they funded your proposal against the EU Parliament, which brings the money in. And so the commission really has to show that a certain project is not funded twice. So it must be a unique, innovative one, a groundbreaking one, and that's what the project definition is. And then also, what's project management? Project management, you see here, application of knowledge, skill, tools, and techniques to meet the project requirements. So these are typical project management tools, and I will show you. What's also very important is the project management triangle. And you see the three corners, the scope and the quality, the time and the costs. And this triangle is shifting all times in projects. So sometimes the scope is shifting a little bit, so it had to be adjusted. Sometimes the costs are running up. Sometimes the time takes longer than you expected, and you have to always, in every time, to adjust this triangle. And the best triple constraint is about the balancing, and that's not only one person in the project, so it's the whole consortium which works on this project management triangle all the time. If something occurs in a work package, then the work package leader or the scientist should quickly inform the other partners that something happened. An experiment don't go right, and what happened next? And so perhaps you have to adjust this triangle together with all the partners. So collaborating is very, very necessary. And there are some projects, even in my projects, there was some partner, they experienced great difficulties with their work, but they didn't tell the others. And then we get in big, big trouble to fix it and to change it. So the earlier you know that there are problems, costs, scope, quality, or time, the better is it for the project. So keep that project management triangle in mind. It's always, it's not only the EU project, it's the national project, it's typical project, and so it's very important. So what are the basic phases of the project management? And you see the initiation phase is a typical first phase, then the planning, then the executing, when, then the monitoring and controlling in the implementation phase, and the last phase is typically in every project management, the closure phase. And what are the activities? And this is a quick overview about also the outcomes and compare to the E context, what is it? And in initiations, surely you generate your project idea, you write an outline of the project objectives, and this is the first one which you can see in the EC context, in the work program, in the call opening, in the proposal stage. So that goes hand in hand with a project outline. A project outline is also very helpful to inform future partners what you are going to do, what you want to do, and that's very necessary that this project outline is quite clear and quite well written. It's about two or three pages mainly, and then it's very good to send it to a partner. So I'm planning to do a project. What do you think about it? Here's my project outline, and just give me a feedback. The next time, the next phase is the planning phase. There is where the team building is, where you define the objectives, also the milestones and deliverables. I will explain that later, what's the meaning of these words. You have to have a work breakdown, also a structure. You also then in this phase have to think about the budget. That's very important. And also about the risk analysis, the risk management, what's happening. Then you have to have a timeline for your proposal. So internal timelines, when should be all work packages be written, when should be the ambition part chapter is written, who will do this, and stuff like that. And this is very crucial for the description of the action then, and also for the grant preparation stage. You see it in the last column. And then when your project is successfully evaluated, then it goes to the execution. You then have the project plan execution. You described in your proposal what you want to do. Now the commission expects that you will do that actually. And things like quality assurance is very important, team development, in your case perhaps, in ITNs, it's very important to choose the students now, what are the rules, what are the structure of this, and also the distribution of information, not only for the commission, but also for the bigger society. And then you have the monitoring and the controlling. Is everything in line with the project? Yeah, the performance must be reported. The change control, the scope, the schedule, and cost. These are triangle, have to be adjusted. You have to have a kind of quality control in all of your project, and also the risk control. And that's usually been written in so-called status reports. You have to send the commission in certain times. Sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's 12 months. It depends on the project. What you have done, and the commission will look at that, and they will look at your proposal and say, okay, you promised in month four this and this, okay, they have done it, so just check it. And if there something is missing, the commission will ask you, your consortium, what happened there, why you didn't explain it. And so it's very crucial that you stick very close to your proposal. That proposal goes in afterwards in a grant agreement with the commission, but one part will be your elaborated proposal with all the things you promised to do. And the last phase, the closure, there would be a last evaluation of this, a valorization, a final report, and then the commission will look through that and they will say, okay, all objectives are reached, perfect, and now we're giving free the last money budget for the project. So, and that's typical for all projects you will do, if it's national or if it's European Union-like. So again, just a short reminder, what's the frame from idea to the projects. So you saw the EC publishes the relevant topics on the participant portal for the proposal submissions. And the consortia then submits the proposal electronically to the commission. And then the evaluation starts by the evaluators. And after the proposal was successful evaluated, then starts the grant preparation, where they want to know additional information. And perhaps some evaluators also said there are some weaknesses, and then you have to put that weaknesses out of your proposal and fix it. And then after I think 3 or 4 months after that in the grant preparation, you can launch your project and you can start to perform your activities. And then after 3 years, it's normal project are 3 years, but there are some projects they lasted 4 years or 5 years. Then there had to be written a final report to the EC, which also will be evaluated. Oops. So short overview, you see that the call is opened now in certain areas in the participant portal, and usually it's 3 months for the first call. So it's a very, very tiny for the first calls, but the work program covers 2 years. So the next calls for the next topics, you have some time, 1 year, 1.5 year, and that's quite good to think about going to the second calls in the work program. For the first calls, it's really, really hard. Three months, so you have to have a good consortium at hand. So you should also keep that in mind. Normally, a submission or evaluation takes about 3 months. 3 months. It will be a remote evaluation. So the scientists, the evaluator scientists, they sit at home and they get 5, 7, 8 proposals, and they send in their evaluation criteria to the commission back, and then they come together in Brussels and they discuss about your proposal there, and then there will be a ranking list where they look, all is passed, all is okay, and then the commission will look at the budget, and they just counted then, okay, the first 4 project can be funded. The 5th project will be on the reserve list. Perhaps in the grant agreement phase, 1 project drops out because the coordinator moves or something like that. So, and then you have a reserve list, and so the evaluation is done. And then comes the grant preparation phase with a grant agreement. Yeah, it's the official contract between the coordinator and with the commission, where all is fixed. And in this grant agreement, later on, the other partners subscribed. Yeah? So they step in, and in former times, all the partners have to sign the grant agreement with the commission. Now it's only the coordinator, and afterwards, the partners sign the grants with the coordinator. And then the project launched, implementation, controlling, so that's the normal phase of a typical project in the EU Horizon 2020. again, we discussed it in the grant writing. You should ask yourself, does this project benefit my organization? And sometimes it can be very hard if you don't speak with your deacon or something like that, if you and a project is granted, and then the university say, no, we don't have spaces, we don't have labs, so just make sure that all your important people in the university is informed that you are intended to go to a proposal. And then you should also think about, is it realistic that we and our consortium can complete this project? Sometimes projects are very, very compromising, are really saying, we will reach this and this and this in 2 years, and it's obviously for an evaluator that that's not feasible. And so be really honest to yourself, is it feasible? Is it realistic to reach the goals, the objectives that you want to do? Yes, these are the major questions, and these questions, you know that already from the grant writing presentation, these are the buzzwords. Is the idea innovative? Is the deadline feasible also? Yeah. Is it possible to write perhaps a 70-page proposal in 3 months? Is it possible? Also make sure you know all the formal requirements. If you have written a beautiful Part B, but you don't know any administrative stuff for Part A from the partners, then you get in deep, deep time troubles at the end. Also, the consortium, I mentioned it before, are they suitable project partners? Yeah, is the budget okay? Yeah, sometimes the budget is really, really over the normal range, and then you have to discuss with the partners, okay, your work package is much too expensive. You have to go 100,000 euros down, and then the partner will react and say, but I need this. And so discussion takes time, and keep that in mind. And also, are the lab or the offices properly equipped? Make sure that that's the case before you submitting this. And also, you see the sustainability, the exploitability of the project results, and are all resources available to implement the project? It would be a pity if you have to say to the commission, now we are in year two of the project, and now the university closes the lab and we can't go on. So that will be a big, big problem in the project. So you have all the information. What are the next steps? In a typical project management phase, then it's the planning. I also mentioned the project plan and the project scope must be written. You have to describe all your activities which are necessary to meet the expectations of the commission and of the project requirements. And that's the major point. And you see the first steps here, the project idea, the definition, the development of the project plan, the selection of the partners, and also what's very, very helpful is in this proposal writing phase, it's really, really good to meet together face to face. You can do it with go-to meetings or internet programs, but I think I've made the best experience if the partners come together, perhaps in Brussels, where it's really good to reach for every partner, and to have 1 or 2 days to think about, together to think about the work packages, the budget, the objectives, the tasks, the deliverables. That's the best thing to do. So keep that in mind. And a lot of universities offer financial help for such meetings, like they cover the travel costs to Brussels, or they give us your resources where you can meet. So that's really a good idea. You can do a lot with the internet tools, but I think meeting personally, even if you only know one or two partners and you don't know the other partners, it's very good to meeting face to face them. So the project plan, very crucial. And you see the buzzwords purpose, definition, and details, and the formal and approved documents that it used to guide project execution and controlling. That's the purpose of this project plan. And also, every partner knows exactly what he has to do. And also, the details should be very, very good in depth, because if it's only in a general way, there will be a lot of questions for the partners when they're writing their work packages. And they're asking, what are now the actual objectives? What are the activities? So it's too broad for me. Can you specify this? And it's better to have it very clear just at the beginning in the project plan. So what are the parts? You see here the work package breakdown, the list of milestones. Normally, it consists of a cost plan, a staffing plan, how many resources you need, how many staff you need. Do you want to have one postdoc or two postdocs, two students, three students, what kind of students, stuff like that. And also, again, think about the risk management, the change management if something went wrong, the quality management, how to ensure that all your objectives are triggered and targeted, and also the timeline, and also the communication plan. What are you intending to do? Want to use Twitter? Want to use a website? What kind of workshops are you intended to do? What are the target groups? Are these for societies, patient organizations? That's all have to be in the project plan. And here, so that's typical for project management, the key questions. Why bother, what, when, who? Yeah, that should also always be in your mind to answer these questions, but they are very, very crucial. So if you're going to the work package or the work breakdown structure of the proposal, so then such a chart could be very helpful. And you also have to present it in your proposal when you're writing a grant. So it shows in a concise way what you're planning to do, what's your activities, and how these activities are broken down in work packages. Work packages are very crucial, and work packages are usually the first part of the proposal you are working on. Without a work package, clear work package description, and clear work package objectives, you don't can do the budget, you don't can do the methodology right, the ambition, and also the impact. So you also always start with the thinking about the work packages. And in the work packages, you have to define your objectives. And this objective, these aims of your project, they must be very clear, measurable, that's very important for the EU Commission, relevant, and also achievable. And just a short hint, so list this objective with bullet points, because it's then for the evaluators and afterwards for the project officers from the EU Commission, very good to see on the first glimpse, okay, these are your objectives. And then he can look through your reports and say, okay, this is achieved, this is achieved, this is achieved. So that's very important. Don't describe these objectives in a broad way. It's not helpful. It's not feasible. So just be very clear. This and this and this will be done in my project. So, and then I think you heard already about this SMART definition. Objectives are SMART. They are specific, concrete. They show what you exactly intended to do. The objectives are written in a clear and comprehensive way. They are measurable, and really, don't underestimate it. The Commission wants to measure it, because they want to know where your program stands, and that's only feasible when the Commission have kind of measurable items in your description. Indicators, parameters, yeah, that's very important. How many, how large, how fast, that's our typical questions here for the measurability. And also achievable. Yeah, I mentioned it before. Can you achieve your objectives with the consortium in time? Is it possible? And also the relevant. Relevant means what happens with your results, with the objectives. Is it only for three or four specialized scientists in Europe, and then it goes in the cupboard, and then it's over? Or are you thinking about contacting patient organizations with a lot of members or stuff like that, so the reachability, the relevance of your project, of the objectives are very, very, very important. And last one, timely, okay. When will your objectives be reached? You have to explain it to the Commission when you're overtime, when you need overtime. So that's also important. So the right question here are the objectives. Is what do I plan to achieve? And really, it's not what I'm going to do. Keep that in mind. So what do I plan to achieve with a project plan, with the objectives, with the SMART definitions, and then you are in a good way. So, and what's an example for such an objectives. A lot of people are writing here from obesity. Obesity causes death in millions of Europeans. The objective of this project, research project, is to study the role of neutral signals causing bad food habits as a starting point for a possible new therapy. That sounds good, but these are objectives. The objective is to develop a new therapy for obesity based on bioactive compounds. Yeah? It's just an example how you define an objective. Yeah? Not too general, but in a general way, but really stick. This objective is to develop. Yeah? That's important. So now we again come to the project partners, very crucial, really, and ask yourself, what qualities do you need in your project? Scientific excellence, sure. Complementary, sure. Reliability, commitment, skills, different skills. And then you go to thinking about who can be this, SMEs, industry, research organizations, yeah, patient group, interest group. So that should be always kept in mind when you're selecting your project partner. So, this is a tool, a project management tool, which is very helpful. I think all of you already had seen this Gantt chart. A Gantt chart shows the timeline of a project broken down in different activities, different work projects. And you see, this has also been in the proposal when you're trying to submit one. So it's crucial to have this in your proposal. And it's very helpful, not only for the Commission or the evaluators, but also for you to structure in a timely way your project. And you see the different work packages are mentioned, and these work packages are broken down in different tasks, subtasks. They have a beginning, they have an ending. There has to be reached at this point, and then the project can go on. That's very important to get that clear. And also, in the last column, you find the milestones and the deliverables. That's very important if you want to show, okay, a milestone is reached, and that's very crucial for our project, but now the next work package can start. Without this milestone, the project will stop. And also the deliverables, is it a report or is it an article or stuff like that that's also mentioned here. And it's also always the same definition. T means task, D means deliverables, M means milestones, and the first number is always the work package, and then comes the number of the deliverables inside this work package. So what are deliverables? Deliverables are really distinct outputs, results of the project, and they are necessary that you complete a task or a work package. Without these deliverables, what happens? Nothing. And they must be verifiable, yeah, because they are important for the reports, or if you're trying to build a prototype, data software, stuff like that. So these are the deliverables, and every deliverables need to be delivered. If you have in your proposal kind of deliverables, and then in the implementation you think, no, also it's not necessary to have this, the commission will say, no, every deliverable needs to be delivered. So there is no chance to say later on, these reports, I don't know if we have to write it. Yes, you have to write it if it's in the proposal. So what are deliverables as examples? We have scientific work packages, and they have scientific deliverables, like reports on validated assays, validated biomarkers as an example, reports on new compounds ready for testing animals as an example, or reports on completed CTs. But you also have dissemination work packages, and they are quite different from the scientific one. It's a launch of a public or internal website, perhaps. It's a project flyer, it's a newsletter, and you also have management work packages, and there are the deliverables, the reports. So that's very important that you understand that deliverables have different tasks, different goals, if it's scientific or dissemination or management. And now the milestones. Milestones are the control points, and in normal projects you only have 5 or 6 milestones. You can have 20 deliverables, yeah, but not every milestone is a deliverable. So milestones are really crucial points in your project. If you don't reach this milestone, the project will be stopped or will be in great, great troubles. So perhaps it can be if you're developing hardware in ICT, yeah, this hardware must be ready to use, because then the next work project, the next work package can start with the software implementation. If the hardware is not there, then it's a big, big problem. And these milestones structure the project into interim goals, and they mark really critical decision points, turning points, and as I said, a lot of scientists, they have 20 or 40 milestones, and then the commission or the evaluator will say the milestones are far too high, number of milestones. What are these milestones as an example? You see, new animal model is provided, the trace is ready to use in animal models, you have a software released, or you have an ethical approval for your project, for the ethical councils. Yeah? That could be milestones. So, and now you know the Gantt chart with a timely overview of the project, and now we have the PER chart, and that shows how these work packages interrelate with each other. And that's a bad example, because you don't know why they are connecting, how, well. So such is much more better. And you can see they have the work block 1, the input, goes to work block 2, the characterization, and then you have the output. You have underneath the dissemination valorization training that goes on. It's all it's for all the work packages. And above you see the project management also for all the work blocks. So that's a typical example for a good PER chart. And the other, all are linked with each other. That's not the information the evaluator wants to see. So now we're coming to the project planning, the management structure, and the procedure. I mentioned that before in my former presentation. But you really should describe any organizational structure and the decision-making in your proposal. Clearly define the responsibilities. Who is responsible for what? As I said a lot of times before, what happened in case of conflict? Address the knowledge and innovation management, the IPR, if there is one. Yeah. Explain the risk management. Define the quality control mechanisms. That could be also done by the external advisory board. Yeah. Sometimes happens. And outline the communication structure. But that depends really on the project you are planning. You saw this before, so I just skip it. And really, I want to stress the risk management. But as I said, a lot of projects get minus points because the missing of risk management. Yeah? Describe in your project any critical risk relating to the project implementation that may hinder achievement to the project objectives, and detail any risk mitigation measures. Yeah? That's really important, but it shows the evaluators and the commission that you are prepared if something went wrong. Hold on. So, how is it done? The best thing is to rate each risk against two dimensions. It's the probability and the impact. Probability, how likely will the risk occur? Yeah? High, medium, or low? And then the next dimension is the impact. What would the potential impact of the risk be on the project? Also high, medium, and low. Yeah? And so it's a kind of a matrix you can present, and it really brings you to think about this at the beginning of the project, not when it happens. So and it's very, very helpful. Could be looking like this as a risk analysis. You see here the probability, low or high. You have the impact of risk, low or high. And so you can say, okay, in our ITN, we have in month 4 all the students recruited. But what happened if we only have 50%? What are the next steps? Yeah? Is it a high risk for the project or a low risk for the project? You have to decide it and discuss it with your consortium. And then the resources and the budget in the project planning. So the normal projects are calculated in the EU Horizon 2020 framework program with total costs. The total costs are the direct costs you need for equipment, for travel, for personnel. And you also have the indirect cost, and that's usually a lump sum, about 25% on the direct costs. And these can differ from instrument to instrument. Sometimes in Marie Curie projects, like the fellowships I mentioned before, you get a lump sum paid. Yeah? In collaborative projects, you have the total cost, the actual cost you need for the project. So that should be also kept in mind. And if there are questions, just ask your local people who know about the EU liaison officer or other colleagues which have information or experience with the EU projects. So that's really, really important to think about how many personnel do you need, what are the travel costs, do you need some items, some lab stuff, that all can be counted as direct costs. And the clearer the the more detailed you have this budget, that's easier is it for you to implement it than in the project afterwards. Here an overview of the direct costs and the indirect costs. You see rents, internet, heating, maintenance, office supplies, that the indirect costs. The direct costs, as I mentioned, some consumables if you need it for your lab. Also subcontracts, if you you need a measurement and you can't do this measurement on your own and even the partners can't do it, yeah, then you can subcontract it to an outside specialized company which will do this for you, and then it's a subcontract. So, as I said, make a realistic estimation of the resources needed to implement your share of work. The budget usually should be based on reflected by the work plan. And I saw a lot of budgets where a lot of scientists say, I need for my work packages 5 postdocs and 4 students. That's far too high, so it should be really, really stick to your project achievements and to your project planning. And also, sometimes the personal rates are different in Europe. So a scientist in Romania only earns 1,000 euros per month. So it's cheaper than a scientist in the UK. And the evaluators also know that. And I saw a lot of projects where some scientists from Romania, they taking the budget from the colleagues from UK, and that's far too high, and that will be mentioned as a weakness by the evaluators afterwards. So stick to the project needs and stick also to your costs in your country, in your university, in your administration, in your organization. Yes. So check with administrative departments to ensure the budget is in line with internal practices. I said that. And really, don't forget to include project management and other costs for communication activities. Sometimes that is missing in proposals. Yeah, it costs money to develop a website. It costs money to develop a leaflet or a flyer or a videotape. So that should also be planned in the budget area. So how does such a work plan look like in the proposal? And that's a template that's from the Commission. And the Commission expects that this template is filled out and put in the proposal. And it's always the same in all kind of collaborative projects in all areas. In energy, in security, in health. So you see the work package number, the lead beneficiary who is responsible for this, the title of the work program, which other partners are involved in this work package, and also a rough calculation of the person month per participant. Is it 3 person months? It's full-time equivalent. And when it starts, when it ends, and then the description of the objectives, the description of work and the deliverables. You see that. And the objectives, clear and comprehensible, realistic and feasible. That's the SMART thing I told you. That must be included here. And if you go to the description of work, then you describe this, what you are doing, yeah, and what will you achieve. And the results then will be the deliverables, and this is the next line then. What are the deliverables? What's the number? When they start? Who is responsible for this deliverable? Can be vary from work package to work packages between the partners. And this is the work plan the Commission wants to see. And also they want to see a list of deliverables, and we have the deliverable numbers, and there are certain types of deliverables. You see it, can you read it? Our document, a report, DEM is a demonstrator, a pilot, a prototype, plan designs, Or is it other as a websites, a patent could also be a deliverable, media action videos, or software, technical diagrams. So that should be mentioned here. And then the dissemination level. And that's very important for you in the consortium, but also for the commission. Is it public, fully open, or is it a patent? Then it's confidential, surely. Yeah, only the commission will see that. Or is it classified? Sometimes the commission say, oh, this is very important for our security if you think about the dual use of science in military ways. So the commission can say, no, that's classified. That goes nothing out of the in the public. So, but that's rarely happen. So these are the list of the deliverables, also mandatory for the project writing, for the project proposal, and also the list of milestones. You have to describe the list of milestones, like software release. That happens in work package 2. What's the deadline in month 18? And who will look at that? This is validated by the user group. Yeah, so that the commission can really track your ongoing status of your project. And then also a table, a template about the risk assessment. So you see an example. Vaccine administration has unexpected side effects. It's a low one, yeah. The work package involved is number 4. And what will we do against it? Close monitoring of stuff like that. So that should also be mentioned even in the proposal. And then comes the budget table, very important, where every partner sends his budgets to the coordinator, and he puts it together so that we have a good concise overview of the budget of the project. And also a table, resources to be committed, and then you describe university of Barcelona is involved in work package 1, 4, and 6, and we have a total person month per participants of about 55, and so that's a really good overview, and also it's necessary to calculate a good budget if you know how much effort each partner needs to fulfill his objectives. And that was for the personnel. There's also a table for the travel, for the equipment, and for other goods and services. So you have to mention it, and you have to justify it. And it's quite good to send this kind of tables beforehand to the partner and say, okay, what do you think about traveling? How many money you need? Why you're going to this conference in America? Perhaps it takes 5,000 euros. So the justification is very crucial, because a lot of evaluators look at that, and if there's no justification, you get a big minus then in your evaluation summary report. So, then your project is evaluated. We are going to the execution. The project is launched. And now all what you have promised must be now implemented. And first of all, the most important thing is that the roles and rights and responsibilities of all project partners are clear for all. Yeah? And it's described in the work program and also in the consortium agreement. I will later refer to the consortium agreement. That's very crucial for the consortium. But here are some examples of the coordinator, the management team, the work package leader. Even sometimes we have task leaders, team leaders also, deliverable leaders, advisory boards. But it really depends on your project. Usually it's the coordinator, a management team, and a work package leader. So, and general assembly, that's the normal roles. And it's very crucial, the coordinator, because he's responsible for the overall project management. He monitors the implementation of the project, and he also collects, review, and transmits on time all documents, all the results to the commission. He chairs the meetings, klar, and he also administers the financial contribution of the ECE, because the commission will send the money to the coordinator, and the coordinator will then distribute it to the different partners. And he's really the contact to the commission, because of the fact that the commission only wants communication point. Because a project officer hates if the coordinator is contacting him, and the work package leader is contacting him, and another work package leader is contacting him. So all goes over the coordinator, and that's a really crucial role. A management team can help the coordinator. It's the interface between the consortium and the funding body, so it sends the reports and helps for the efficient management and the support of the structure. They have all in supporting the contractual and financial issues, they monitoring, and also they coordinating the activities like reporting, meeting organizations there. So it could be very helpful. It must not be an external partner. It could be done by the coordinator's university. There are some universities who have such people in the organization, then it's perfect. But it could also be outsourced or a partner specially dedicated to do this management support. And then the work package leader, and they are responsible for the scientific coordination of their respective work packages. And they have to keep the management team informed about the process and the status of their work packages on a timely basis. Yeah, they are organizing independently the communication and workflow inside their own work packages. And they're also representing the work package conclusion, decisions, and results in meetings to the whole consortium. And also, the work package leader is responsible for the analysis and documenting of any deviation in relation to their own work package activities. So, task leader, sometimes in big projects, we have task leaders. They are responsible for their tasks, that they are timely implemented, and they have to report to the work package leader. And this work package leader, as I said before, he informs the coordinator and the management team or the whole consortium there. Team leaders, I'm taking off. Also, deliverables leaders in some projects, they have this. I just want to show you that there are different mechanisms where you can choose if you have deliverable leaders or only task leaders or work package leaders. It really depends on the project. It depends on the size of the consortium, because if you only have 4 or 5 partners and you have deliverable leaders or task managers, then it's management by conference, and that's not the right thing to do. So, consortium agreement. I mentioned that the coordinator concludes a contract between the coordination, the EU commission and the coordinator. That's the model grant agreement. And the consortium agreement is an agreement between the partners. What to do, who is reliable, who is responsible for what, how much money goes to partners, and also if you have in mind that you will file a patent, how is it be done? So it's a legal document concluded between the partners at project start. It really defines the right and responsibilities within the consortium, and it's mandatory for nearly all EU-EC-funded projects. The Commission is not involved. They only want to know that there is a consortium agreement, but they don't say this has to be included or that had to be included. So it's purely between the partners. And the grant agreement is the legal basis, and a consortium agreement cannot contradict or negate the grant agreement. So the consortium agreement is very important for the partners, and it takes some time to figure it out. And in every organization, the legal department is heavily involved in the consortium agreement, because what's about the knowledge? What's about the background knowledge of a scientist? Yeah? Is it open? Is it free for use of other partners? Or should we keep that a little bit in secret? Such are things that has to be described in the consortium agreement. So what should the CA cover? You see it. It's the internal organization of the project, the financial contribution, I mentioned it, but also the exploitation, dissemination of results, the access rights, yeah. Also a settlement of internal disputes, the decision-making mechanisms, and also liability, indemnification, and confidentiality arrangements about some results could also be covered in such CAs. There are a lot of help and hints on the internet, and there are also some kind of templates, and the best one for me is the DESCA model. It's made from EU liaison officers and legal staff from different universities, and this is, I will say, kind of a standard for these CAs. So if you want to have a look at the DESCA, then that's a very good example how such a consortium agreement should look like. So, what about internal communication within the consortium? How can the really, really distributed partners in Finland, in Portugal, perhaps in Israel, how can they meet each other? There are standard means of communication. You see it, emails, sure. Mailing lists, Skype, phone calls, go-to meetings are very helpful. But you also have to have a communication platform where you can store all your documents, all your results. Mostly it's an internal one, it's an intranet. And but the regular project meetings, physical, are very, very important, at least once in a year. Yeah? A lot of projects have two per year. Yeah, that's all also quite good, but at least once a year, because then you have a lot of time to discuss it face to face with your colleagues. So that's the normal means of communication. So, and now I'm coming to the project management tools. What's the purpose of this? Really clear. It facilitates the progress, the monitoring, the controlling. It also simplifies the reporting. It locates all the information in one place, provides transparency, and allows file sharing. So I think that's really, really good to have such an intranet, a good functioning intranet, because it helps you a lot if you need a document, if you want to know where is the report of the last work progress report from the work package 2 or something like that. So that's really good. Here again, for the project meeting, regularly, yeah, self-explaining. And but what I would say, project meeting are very, very necessary, but too many. And I experienced a project where they meet every week on the web, on the go-to meeting, and on the Skype. It's management by conference, and it's horrible. So you don't have to say in 1 week, nothing has happened, and so we stay together, consumes a lot of time, consumes a lot of resources. So keep in mind, if it's necessary, when, every 4 weeks, every 2 months, and then it's okay. So one meeting is very important. It's the kickoff meeting, and really it's vital for the future implementation of the project. It's the official launch of the activities, and in all kickoff meetings, normally the commission is there. Yeah? The project officer will visit the project, and this kickoff meeting really creates a common understanding for all partners again, and creates awareness and responsibilities. You can discuss the workflows again. You can introduce project partners and their roles. Most of all, you can explain the communication plan, the exploitation plan. It helps for the motivation, for the commitment, and also for the team building. Here, just a short overview for the project meetings. What's the purpose? What's the timing? What's the ground rule? It could be for you kind of a checklist. I'm going not through this because it's sometimes self-explaining, but project meetings are very, very useful. Then we're coming to the phase four of the project management, the monitoring and the controlling. And these processes has to be ensured that the project is managed and executed according to the project plan. It includes tracking, also reviewing and regulating the process and performance of the project, along with managing changes when required. So the commission really, really wants to be sure that the project is monitored and controlled. And you have had structures to prove this, to show this, that this is working. And one is the internal monitoring processes, as a clearly what work is performed, are all deliverables there, are the milestone reached, are the person months used, are the budget spent. Yeah. Sometimes it can happen that you have a work package and you thought you need 50 person months and now you only need 30. What's now? Yeah. You can switch it, you can change it. You have to inform the commission beforehand, but it's possible. Yeah. And what's the process? You're gathering all data through internal reporting, meeting, etc. And you keep really track, and you have to check the status quo, the analysis of the deviation of the planning, and also the troubleshooting and corrective actions if necessary. And that can be done with such kind of template where you can show, okay, this deliverables is submitted, is in progress, is delayed. You can use on your internal website such a chart with colors, red, yellow, and green. That's very helpful to have a state-of-the-art, on-track, timely glimpse of what is happening in the project. And then the commission also expects that you have to submit the deliverables, yeah, to show what you have actually done, so that they can look at it and can say, okay, that's fulfilled this promise. And mostly it's since documents, they are reports, prototypes, you also website as deliverables, you send a link to the commission and say, look at our website, or here is our patent filing forms, look at this. And that's really helpful to give also access to the EUC Commission, to your internal storage, so that they can look at it and can give their comments on the quality and on the deliverables. So also not only the monitoring of the deliverables internally, also the milestones should be observed and monitored. That also is often done with colors to show where are we standing. And if there is a yellow flag, so then you should contact your partners and ask what we will do next. If it's a red flag, so you should immediately go to think about what we do next and what's our next steps. And then, in every project, periodic reporting is necessary. You're sending your status reports to the commission. You provide information on the performance in scope, schedule, cost, and quality. And also, you alert the team project to issues that may cause problems in future. And surely, that's crucial. If some partner knows long time that something went wrong in his work package, but he didn't tell it to the other partners, then it's a big problem in the project. Really, really, it's a big problem. And these reports are always composed of a technical report and a financial report. Technical report is a scientific report that the methodology was implemented or stuff like that, and financial report, that's the resources, the budget for traveling is explained in this report, and that had to be sent to the commission. Yes? Yes, there's also a template in a proposal where you list all the deliverables, and a report is a deliverable. So you can see, actually, report 1 is in month 18, report 2 is in month 24. And so the commission can also make an X on it. So normally, what's the normal way to proceed with the reporting? It's the partner sending the reports to the work package leader. He just combines it, sends it normally to the coordinator, and they bring it together. And also the management team then asks the partners, what about the budget? And that's get together in the project reports then. And a lot of is done with templates, so the management team will usually send templates to all the partners for that, and also the finance departments are involved of the organizations of the partners to combine this project. So the technical and the financial report is combined then. How does it look like? Actually, you see the main objective is described. Then you have a short summary of the progress achieved. Then details to each task should be mentioned. Then the impact. And then when it happens, deviation from Annex 1, and that's the description of the whole project. That's the proposal there. And so that's a typical technical report to be sent to the commission. And the financial report, it's quite the same. It's an individual financial statement from each beneficiary, and it really contains all actual costs, all travel costs, all deliverables, all travel, and not deliverables. They are equipment stuff like that. And there you have to explain why you're using this money, this budget, and that should also be very detailed, because there come a lot of questions from the commission if that's only generally explained. And this financial reporting is usually done online. So that's the task of the project management team. So we're doing it all the time for the projects at URIS. And so there you can see also how much money is spent till now, how much money is left, And it's a quite good tool, this online financial reporting system from the Commission. So the reporting periods, when and how often? And this is really defined in the work plan. It's a question of how you had planned your proposal, your project. Usually it's 12 or 18 months. 12 months, it's every 12 months a report. You know, that's feasible. Some projects have every 6 months, and in my opinion, that's too much, because then every partner has to report and report and report. So 12 months, 18 months, that's quite good. So again, for the reporting, the practical advice and experience about the deadlines and the responsiveness. Delays will impair the whole workflow, that's clear. The timely submission of reports is essential. The Commission will be very angry if you don't submit your reports time. Time is needed for reviewing the reports and for one or several rounds of feedback. Sometimes the Commission then sends the report back and said, oh, we need a clarification here or here or here, and then you have to clarify this and send it back to the Commission. But really try to be available during the reporting phase. Sometimes it's not so good to have the reporting phase in August, because everybody is on holidays, and then the last in line will have the whole work, and that's horrible. So make sure that your reporting phases are in phases where a lot of partners are available. So, and then the last phase of a typical project management cycle is the closure phase, and it's the formal ending of the project, and surely it includes to finalize all related actions, activities you have promised, and the final report is the major item here. And now some points about the closing process. Final report has to be sent to the Commission. The final meeting will be happened. There will be a project review and evaluation. So at this final meeting, there are normally two or three evaluators present. Yeah? They will look at your presentations on the results, and they give their comments. And also, there is a short glimpse about the knowledge transfer, what will happen after the project is finished. Will the consortium work together? What is planned with the results? Something like that will be presented. And also, the documenting lessons learned, yeah, that's also very important for the next project. And that's happening at the closure processes. And the final report has all the is a summary and all the conclusion of the project. It's an analysis of the overall project. It's an overview of the results and their exploitation and dissemination activities. Also, the impact will be assessed at the final meeting. And then a lot of questions had to be answered from the consortium, because the evaluators will ask, what are the impact, what is the socioeconomic impact, what are the scientific impact, stuff like that. And they also will give some recommendation for future researchers, and the final financial report, how much money is spent, and how the money was distributed. You all have to explain it. And then this final report is sent to the Commission, and the Commission looks through it, and if it's okay, they give the last money budget free, and so it's free to distribute. But it could take 3 or 4 months every time, so don't hope that you're sending the final report in and a week later you get the money. It takes a lot of time. but it's very crucial to have a good final report with all this stuff included, what is mandatory. What's the final meeting? Presentation, documentation of lessons learned, and sometimes, or most of the times, it's a very, very good location where you can celebrate the accomplishments, and often on these final meetings, people thinking about what's the next step, will we go for another project, and it's quite a good thing. So, what happened at the project review and evaluation then? The EC, the EU, will analyze all items. Are they accomplished? They check really the efficiency of the project, the impacts, the implementation also, and are there a continued scientific or technological relevance of the project? And sometimes they also may give some comments about the financial and budgetary aspects, and they will send it back to the consortium to give them help for perhaps the next projects planned. And then the project is archived, the reports are archived, and an audit, if applicable, is also necessary in some projects, because if you, as a partner, if you need more than 325,000 euros, or you used more than this amount, then you have to have an external audit. So an auditor came to you and will look at all the stuff you've done. They are traveling to Finland. Where are the boarding cards? Yeah, where are the costs? Are the costs delivered? So a financial audit sometimes is necessary, but that would take care on your in your organizations, and there are special people which help you in your organization to do this. Okay, that's administrative closure. Here are some references for this all project management stuff, for the project management triangle, for the SMART thing, and also for the different phases. So you can look at it. And it's a really typical project management cycle and phases. And it's adaptable to all the projects, perhaps through national or EU projects. So if you have questions, sure, then I'm at the end now, and the time is also quite good. Thank you very much. But I think after three hours of speaking, I'm done now, and I need a beer afterwards. The good beer from yesterday. So, questions? Yes. So when you're from Paris and you want to go to Oxford University and you say, okay, I'm writing now my proposal and I'm going to Oxford, and the people there, they don't know anything about you, and you get this proposal and you're positively evaluated, and then you go to Oxford and they say, we don't have any space, we don't have any rooms. So you have to be sure that your receiving organization accepts that you will come in the case if you're positively evaluated. So you have to send a short letter with your proposal that states the University of Oxford welcomes, supports this proposal of the scientist And we are freely willing to give them resources, and it's no problem for us. Yeah? So that's the reason why, because then a lot of proposals will be reached in, and the receiving institution know nothing about it, and they could not handle it. No. That's the reason. Yeah. Other questions? Great. Okay. Thanks again very much. I know it's hard stuff. It's boring stuff. But I think, but you have to know that, and you have to know that at a very early stage of your career, what's project management, what's grant writing, and yeah. Thanks again. So we have 10 minutes left. Oh, Jarmo is not there. Okay, yeah.
Management is everybody you still need to do the management for your project, also individual project. This is at the level of the whole consortium or bigger project, but it's equally important the management at your own project level, and it's very important, you know, for the structure to have getting dissertation done even. Thank you. So, and we'll come back.